Hello, and welcome to Pet News and Animal Information from the Talking Information Center, Marshfield, Massachusetts. This is Jane Simpson, and today we're starting with an article from the University of Cambridge. Golden Retriever Genes Linked to Anxiety, Aggression, and Intelligence in Humans. Researchers at the University of Cambridge have uncovered new insights into the emotional lives of dogs, helping explain why some golden retrievers are more anxious, energetic, or aggressive than others. Their study, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, is the first to demonstrate that certain genes connected to dog behavior are also linked to traits in humans such as anxiety, depression, and intelligence. To investigate the biological roots of canine temperament, scientists examined the DNA of 1,300 golden retrievers and compared it with each dog's behavioral profile. Owners provided detailed survey responses describing their pet's habits and reactions. The researchers then matched this behavioral data with genetic information from each dog. This analysis uncovered specific genes associated with traits, such as trainability, activity level, fear of unfamiliar people, and aggression toward other dogs. When the team compared these results with human genetic studies, they found that 12 of the genes linked to behavior in golden retrievers are also tied to emotional traits and behavior in people. The findings are really striking. They provide strong evidence that humans and golden retrievers have shared genetic roots for their behavior. The genes we identified frequently influence emotional states and behavior in both species, said Dr. Eleanor Raffin, a researcher in the University of Cambridge's Department of Physiology, Development, and Neuroscience, who led the study. One gene called PTPN1 stood out. In golden retrievers, it was associated with aggression toward other dogs. In humans, the same gene has been connected to intelligence and depression. Researchers also identified another genetic variant that appears in golden retrievers that are fearful of other dogs. In people, this variant influences whether someone tends to dwell on embarrassing experiences or achieve high educational success. The scientists say these discoveries could help dog owners better understand their pets' emotional responses and adjust training or care to match their individual needs. These results show that genetics govern behavior, making some dogs predisposed to finding the world stressful. If their life experiences compound this, they might act in ways we interpret as bad behavior, when really they're distressed. The study also identified a connection between trainability in golden retrievers and a gene known as ROMO1. In humans, this gene has been linked to intelligence and emotional sensitivity. Because of this link, researchers say dog training may involve more than simply reinforcing desired actions. A dog's emotional state may also play an important role in how easily it learns. The findings could also influence veterinary care. For instance, recognizing that certain fearful behaviors stem from genetic factors related to anxiety could guide the use of treatments designed to reduce stress. The genes identified in the study do not directly cause a specific behavior or emotion. Instead, they affect broader systems that regulate mood and behavioral responses. One example involves dogs that display non-social fear, being afraid of things such as buses or hoovers. The researchers found a gene linked to this trait that, in humans, is associated with irritability, emotional sensitivity, and seeing the doctor for nerves or anxiety. If your golden retriever cowers behind the sofa every time the doorbell rings, perhaps you might have a bit more empathy if you know they're genetically driven to feel sensitive and anxious. Dogs in our home share not only our physical environment, but may also share some of the psychological challenges associated with modern living. Our pets may be excellent models of human psychiatric conditions associated with emotional disturbance. The research relied on behavioral data from 1,300 golden retrievers between the ages of 3 and 7. that are part of the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study, a project run by the Morris Animal Foundation since 2012. Owners participating in the study complete detailed questionnaires covering 73 different behaviors. These responses are then grouped into 14 categories that help researchers measure specific behavioral traits. The scientists combined this information with blood samples taken from the dogs. By scanning the entire genome of each golden retriever, they identified genetic markers that appeared more frequently in dogs displaying particular behavioral traits. This approach allowed the researchers to connect distinct regions of the genome with specific patterns of behavior. Next, a touching story for dog lovers. This is a beautiful letter from Fiona Apple, explaining to her fans why she must postpone a concert date. "I am impressed at the way she was instantly able to make the decision to choose love over her career. Indeed, the world needs more of this. Enjoy the story." "It's 6 p.m. on Friday, and I'm writing to a few thousand friends I've not met yet. I'm writing to ask them to change our plans and meet a little while later. Here's the thing. I have a dog, Janet, and she's been ill for about 2 years now, as a tumor has been idling in her chest, growing ever so slowly. She's almost 14 years old now. I got her when she was 4 months old. I was 21 then, an adult officially, and she was my kid. She is a pit bull and was found in Echo Park with a rope around her neck and bites all over her ears and face. She was the one the dog fighters used to puff up the confidence of the contenders. She's almost 14, and I've never seen her start a fight or bite or even growl. So I can understand why they chose her for that awful role. She's a pacifist. Janet has been the most consistent relationship of my adult life, and that is just a fact. We've lived in numerous houses and joined a few makeshift families, but it's always really been just the two of us. She slept in bed with me, her head on the pillow, and she accepted my hysterical, tearful face into her chest, with her paws around me, every time I was heartbroken or spirit broken or just lost. And as years went by, she let me take the role of her child, as I fell asleep with her chin resting above my head. She was under the piano when I wrote songs, barked any time I tried to record anything, and she was in the studio with me all the time we recorded the last album. The last time I came back from tour, she was spry as ever, and she's used to me being gone for a few weeks every 6 or 7 years. She has Addison's disease, which makes it more dangerous for her to travel, since she needs regular injections of cortisol, because she reacts to stress and excitement without the physiological tools which keep most of us from literally panicking to death. Despite all this, she's effortlessly joyful and playful, and only stopped acting like a puppy about 3 years ago. She's my best friend and my mother and my daughter and my benefactor, and she's the one who taught me what love is. I can't come to South America. Not now. When I got back from the last leg of the U.S. tour, there was a big, big difference. She doesn't even want to go for walks anymore. I know that she's not sad about aging or dying. Animals have a survival instinct, but a sense of mortality and vanity they do not. That's why they are so much more present than people. But I know she's coming close to the time where she will stop being a dog and start instead to be part of everything. She'll be in the wind and in the soil and in the snow and in me wherever I go. I just can't leave her now. Please understand. If I go away again, I'm afraid she'll die and I won't have the honor of singing her to sleep, of escorting her out. Sometimes it takes me 20 minutes just to decide what socks to wear to bed. But this decision was instant. These are the choices we make which define us. I will not be the woman who puts her career ahead of love and friendship. I am the one who stays home, baking tilapia for my dearest, oldest friend, and helps her be comfortable and comforted and safe and important. Many of us these days, we dread the death of a loved one. It is the ugly truth of life that keeps us feeling terrified and alone. I wish we could also appreciate the time that lies right beside the end of time. I know that I will feel the most overwhelming knowledge of her and of her life and of my love for her in the last moments. I need to do my damnedest to be there for that, because it will be the most beautiful, the most intense, the most enriching experience of life I've ever known when she dies. So I am staying home, and I am listening to her snore and wheeze, and I am reveling in the swampiest, most awful breath that ever emanated from an angel, and I'm asking for your blessing. Love, Fiona. And next is Dog Training Tips, Do's and Don'ts, source, bestfriends.org. Training a dog has numerous benefits for both you and your pooch. It is crucial for dogs to live happily with their family. It helps avoid unwanted behaviors, and it enhances a person's bond with their pet. Here are some basic dog training tips that cover do's and don'ts to help set up you and your dog for success. Do's: how to effectively teach a dog. Let's start with the dog training tips that we want to focus on doing. Take baby steps. Have a clear idea of the behavior you want, and then break down the training required into small, attainable steps. Dogs learn better and enjoy training sessions more if they are successful and receive a reward. Hey, who doesn't? If your dog doesn't seem to be understanding what you're asking, think about how you can make the training process easier. For example, if you were trying to teach the cue down, and your dog just sits with a puzzled look on their face, start by rewarding your dog for simply lowering their head. Then increase the criteria from there. Be consistent. Dogs are exceptionally good with details. To your dog, sit, sit down, and Fido sit are different cues. With that in mind, make sure you are using exactly the same cue every time you ask your dog for a particular behavior. This strategy will help to avoid frustration on the part of you and your dog, and it will help your dog to understand what you are asking. Use positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement means rewarding your dog with treats, toys, praise, or whatever motivates them. Just like humans, dogs want some payoff for working. You can't expect your dog to continually work for nothing. With that said, don't overestimate how much praise means to your pet. It's great when your boss says, "Good job," but you also want that more tangible reward, your paycheck. So be generous with the treat or toy rewards, especially at the beginning. Once your dog learns a behavior, you can adjust the reward schedule, but you'll want to keep rewarding them periodically for a job well done. Don't start training someplace with a lot of distractions. Like people, dogs learn more effectively if they aren't distracted by a busy, noisy environment. For example, if you're trying to teach your dog to sit, start the training in a quiet room in your home rather than at the neighborhood park, where you'd have to compete with animals, other people, and noises for your dog's attention. Once your dog is consistently performing the behavior on cue, you can start to proof it. Proofing means practicing a behavior in different environments and situations until the dog generalizes the desired behavior and can do it anywhere, even with distractions. Don't use pain, fear, or intimidation when training. Always start with positive reinforcement when beginning to train your dog. Immediately jumping to methods that are not force-free can result in a shaky relationship with your dog, as well as results that are not as effective or long-lasting. Training should be fun for the dog, not a scary and unpleasant experience. Don't get frustrated if you have a bad training session. Learning isn't linear, and your dog might fluctuate in their progress from day to day. Stay calm, keep the big picture in mind, and do your best with the dog you have in front of you. If it's not working, then stop the session and try again later or the following day. Remember, this is about establishing long-term behavior for a long-term relationship. So take it slowly, and above all, have fun. Next, some funny pet stories submitted by pet owners. Our dog, Bailey Boo, is a golden retriever, black lab and German shepherd mix. She loves lollipops. One day she came with us in the SUV and we had to run into the store for something and left her in the car with it running. One of the kids had bought a bunch of these natural-flavored strawberry suckers. We got back in the car, and we hear this sucking noise, and I turned around and said, "Bailey," and she popped her head up from the back seat with a sucker hanging out of her mouth. She was sucking on it. It was so funny to see her with it hanging out of her mouth. She loves them. She loves Halloween because of the lollipops. She's a very special dog to us. She was run over by a big SUV when she was 5 months old, and the vet said she had never seen a dog with such will to live and be so loyal to her family. She had a dislocated hip, bruised uterus, and internal bleeding, broken ribs, etc. She was on oxygen for 3 days and survived it all. And she has a wonderful personality, loves to lie upside down and smile. She shakes both paws, high fives, sits pretty, and will sneeze. From Joanne Cotton of Nestor Falls, Ontario, Canada. And next, from Shannon Velitzik of Boise, Idaho. "I got my cat Eulika while I was living in Prague. I didn't have the heart to leave her behind, so when I came back to the United States, Yuli came with me. The trip ended up being 24 hours long. Anyway, she's a character. I was living in Portland, and Yuli would often wake me up an hour before I had to be up, so I would put her in the bathroom with her food, water, and litter box. This routine didn't last long. One morning, when Yuli wanted to play fetch and I had an hour to sleep, into the bathroom she went. 7 o'clock came, and I first started my coffee and then tried to open the bathroom door. Yuli had locked me out. Somehow she had pulled the drawer closest to the door open, so I was unable to open the door. I was frantic and had to get in there to get ready for work. I went into the kitchen, got a knife, and had to shimmy the drawer closed with a knife. Now looking back, it was so funny that it happened." And from Cheryl Drahim of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. "I have a Shih Tzu who is adorable, but none too bright. He is a major mama's boy and wants a bite of anything I have to eat. One day I was sitting at the dining table and Tippy was sitting quietly nearby. He never begs, just drills holes in you with his eyes. But every hair on his body was twitching. I was having a salad and knew he wouldn't eat any greens, but I had a mandarin orange in the salad. So I broke off a small piece of orange and tossed it to him. I thought he had caught it and was eating it, but he kept sniffing around on the floor and whining. I didn't know if he wanted more or what. I called him and he looked up at me, and there was a bite of mandarin orange stuck to the fur right above his nose. He could smell it, but he couldn't find it. I nearly fell out of the chair laughing. Then I grabbed the camera and took a picture. The grandkids loved it." And next, from Elizabeth Van Doren of Asheville, North Carolina. "Titan is the dog who almost closed an airport. As the Cal State Fullerton Rotzi mascot, my little Westie, Titan, wore a camouflage uniform I got from a teddy bear. When I said attention, he did. Present arms, he stood up with paws in the air. Low crawl, he did. About face, he turned in a circle. And grenade, he rolled over. We were in the Baltimore-Washington International Airport the first day it opened after 9/11, and the lines were hours long. Titan was fidgeting in the Sherpa travel bag, and those in line around me said, 'Oh, cute dog.' I said, 'Hey, he does tricks,' and let him out of the bag, until I unthinking commanded grenade, causing a panic, and security came running. Oops." And next, from Stacy Andre of Benica, California. "I have the cutest, sweetest, and funniest dog. Her name is Sophie Marie. She's a chihuahua mix and looks like a little leopard. She is spotted all over with one blue and one brown eye. At night, when my husband and I are getting ready for bed, she plays hide-and-seek. She hides under the couch until we come out to look for her. We say, 'Where's Sophie?' numerous times before she comes out very excited. Also, when she gets into her bed, which we keep right next to ours, she will often cover herself with her blanket. She is an amazing and gentle soul. She loves everyone, and everyone that meets her loves her." And from Glenda Bailey of Pasadena, Manitoba, Canada. "My husband, Phil, has dentures. One evening, he was preparing to shower. He took out his teeth and placed them on the bathroom sink. He went for a clean towel, and when he came back, his teeth were missing. We searched for an hour, and they were nowhere to be found. He was forced to go to work for days without them. Our son Josh was in the high school marching band, and on that following Saturday, we went to a tournament of bands, and Phil took a short nap in the car. One of the students went to get him for the show, and when he got there, Phil was asleep with his mouth gaping wide open, clearly visible that his teeth were missing. Mike came back and told the kids, and then Josh relayed the story about the teeth and that we believed our cat, Herbert Spencer, had stolen them, but we were unable to find them. When Phil arrived back to the field, all the band members began teasing him, saying, "What's the matter, Mr. Phil? The cat got your teeth?" Well, several days later, our son was watching TV and covered himself with an afghan. Lo and behold, the dentures were wrapped in the afghan. My son called my husband and told him he'd just been bitten. 2 weeks later, Phil's watch was missing, and we found it in Herbie's secret hiding spot, the afghan. The afghan is long gone, and now Herbie has hiding spots we know nothing about. But we are certain when things are missing, Herbie has absconded with them. Herbert Spencer is such a funny cat that family members say we should write a book about him. And next, from Sherry Gust of Folsom, California, "My dog Chula chose my husband to be. Prior to being transferred to California, Chula, it means cute girl in Spanish, even though she was uglier than a mud fence, so I had to have a cute in her name, developed a dislike for all men following an attempted break-in where she tried to jump through a double-paned window trying to get at a man trying to get into my house. Fortunately, she frightened off the burglar, but she didn't like men after that incident. So every man I tried to date, she would create quite a challenge at every door greeting. But one man whom I met on a blind date following my transfer to California surprised me with a visit at my home the next night after meeting him. Not knowing who it was, I opened the door with her standing at my side. Upon realizing who it was, I began to hold her back. She had her back hair sticking straight up and her snarling teeth showing. Andy, a huge man, 6'8", bent down on his knees and spoke in a somewhat high voice and said, "Well, hello, Chula. How's my little cute dog?" I don't remember the rest of his greeting, but for the first time in years, Chula met a man without hesitation and greeted him with a sweet doggy kiss, and she loved him ever since. I felt if this man could deface himself for the sake of my precious Chula, he was worth marrying." And next, from Anne Marlott of Oceanside, California, "My husband raised birds and had three favorites in the house as his personal pets. Amanda is an African gray who is just too smart. She hated women and loved to flirt with any man who came into the house. She had an awesome vocabulary. One of her many talents was to invite people in when she heard the doorbell or heard someone knock on the door. 'Come on in,' she would yell out. Another one of his birds was a Mexican redhead captain. He was not too smart, but he picked up a word or two. His favorite word being, 'What?' My husband was hard of hearing, and he was always saying, 'What?' to questions or statements. It was quite annoying because he didn't want to use his hearing aids, but that darn old bird just loved that word and it drove us nuts. My husband passed away, and a friend of mine took the birds to her house to bird sit for a time. Her brother was living with her to get away from an old ex-girlfriend. She had them sitting by the front door near an open window. One day, the ex-girlfriend showed up at the house to see him. Neither my friend or her brother wanted her to know that they were home, so they hid behind a wall till she left. She began to ring the bell and knock on the door, and to my friend's amazement, the African gray began to yell out, 'Well, come on in!' The girlfriend tried to get in the door, but thankfully the door was locked. She shook the handle and began to yell, 'I can't, the door's locked.' Right on cue, the other bird captain yelled out, 'What? What?' She would yell, 'I said the door is locked.' She would knock again and would hear, 'Well, come on in.' And then the resounding, 'What?' from captain. You would think that this woman would have given up, but not her. She kept this up till my friend and her brother were laughing so hard that she wet her pants. And now a reading from a book titled The Cats of America by Seamus Mullarkey. The cat park... Sorry, one second. The cat park and cat people of Salt Lake City. In Salt Lake City, Utah, there's a playground nestled within the Rose Park neighborhood where locals of all ages and species come to play. Steenblick Park, also known as the Cat Park, is home to four magnificent bronze cat statues positioned proudly to watch over the lush lawn. The attentive cat statues were created in honor of the many feline friends of the Steenblick family. The Steenblicks immigrated to America from the Netherlands in 1903, establishing their dairy farm in the heart of Rose Park. It's no secret that cats like milk. Many found themselves right at home on the Steenblick dairy farm. The influential family would play a great role in the economy and growth of their city, supplying fresh dairy every morning to their happy Salt Lake City residents, including the ones with tails. Sheriff, Cat, and the Catsburg Store. In the south of Durham County, North Carolina, you'll find a two-story farm in the style of a red barn. This structure dates from 1920 and features a giant black cat and the name Catsburg painted on its front canopy. While no longer open for business, the store remains as a landmark for the small, quaint town of Catsburg, named after their late sheriff, Cat Belvin. Sheriff Cat got his nickname thanks to his ability to sneak around unnoticed. This cat-like stealth helped him catch bootleggers and moonshiners during Prohibition. History doesn't record if he actually was a cat fan or what he thought of this feline nickname. However, some say that he himself was a purveyor of illegal hooch and that he hunted down his rivals while receiving a sheriff's salary. We're not sure the tale of shady double-dealing is true, but if it is, it sounds like a case of having your cream and eating it, too. And that concludes today's reading. Thank you for listening. Stay well and take care of each other.